talk SEC coaches here in a second, but I do want to give John credit, as I did on email yesterday. I reached out to Saturday Down South after I saw John's story about SEC newbies and asked if they would be interested in coming on the show, and I got a response back in about – actually, the response came before I even sent the initial email almost, so it was remarkable. So I give you guys credit for being very prompt.
It's such a great website, too.
It is.
I find my – I'm on your website all the time. It got me in trouble with a client recently as I was trying to – I was faking the fact that I was working on a document, but indeed I was going through Saturdays Down South looking at different
facilities
and all the different stuff.
It's more so about the fact that you were billing the client while
I was billing
Saturday
the client,
south.
No doubt about it,
that's
while I'm on Saturdays Down South.
Anyway, John,
well,
welcome.
We appreciate the support, and man, we love the passion, the tradition, everything about the SEC, and we funnel all that into Saturday Down South. That's all we talk about year-round, and we're certainly ready to get this season kicked off, that's for sure.
Man, no kidding. It's tough on us. At least we get to talk about other things. So for you guys, it's got to be especially difficult in the summer months. So, yeah, we're all ready. But I saw the story about SEC coaches. Which new SEC coaches, you get a handful of them, have the best chance for long-term and short-term success? So when you thought about this and you looked into this, what did you base it on?
Well, basically, you know, a lot of people just grade them based on what's their tenure going to be or who's going to get fired first. I look at it more in a short-term and a long-term type success. So a few different ways that I would look at it. I would, you know, look at short-term as more of a 1 to 3 years and a long-term process of 4 to 6 years and building a program. So 1 to 3 years, you're really inheriting the program and what you've taken over. So out of the four new coaches for the short-term success, I like Gus Malzahn the best. I think the one knock against Chizik that you can't knock him for, it would be his recruiting. I mean, the guy recruited top 10 class, mostly top 5 classes year in and year out. So there's talent there. And you talk about, you know, kind of the two marquee players that came out of the Gene Chizik era at Auburn was Cam Newton and Nick Fairley. Both were JUCO guys. So to me, that tells me he didn't develop either one of those guys. And he has the talent on campus right now, Malzahn does, to implement his style of offense. We know he's going to score points. We know Ellis Johnson's a great defensive coordinator. They put together a great staff. So I like them to turn that thing around. It wouldn't surprise me if they win 6 or 7 games in the short term at Auburn this season. And then on the backside of that, I look at a long-term success, 4 to 6 years. And out of those four coaches that were hired, I think Brett Bielema's philosophy fits in the best as far as winning, his track record. I mean, the one thing he's known for is development. So he's going to be recruiting better talent at Arkansas. Ultimately, it's going to come down to a talent standpoint. Can he get better players to beat the likes of LSU, to beat the likes of Alabama every single year? That's my one question. But his track record, you know, tells me it screams development. You know, by reaching down into South Florida and Alex Collins and Denver Kirkland, he showed that he can recruit in a short amount of time, build some relationships. So, I mean, his scheme and everything fits better into the SEC than the other three new head coaches, in my opinion.
John Cooper joining us from SaturdayDownSouth.com. I see here at the end of your article regarding the coaches, you make a point that was made in the first segment on our show today about Mark Stoops and long-term success at Kentucky. It doesn't happen for one of two reasons. Either you don't win and you get canned, or you do win and you don't stay.
Move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's not a knock against Kentucky. Lexington is a beautiful place. The campus is unreal. But the fact remains, they want to be relevant in football. And you make Kentucky relevant, you're going to be set up for other jobs. And it's different, let's say, from Joker Phillips, who was there last year, who was a Kentucky guy, played there, coached there a bunch. He was Kentucky through and through. So I'm not sure he would have used the program as a stepping stone, kind of like Mark Stoops, who, in my opinion, I think he will. I think, you know, Kentucky has the financial backing to make a legitimate offer when the time comes. Ultimately, you know, Stoops wants to move up in the coaching rankings. We have no idea what he's thinking, but you make Kentucky relevant, you make them a bowl contender, 8-win team, you're going to get your name mentioned for a lot of other jobs.
John, you know, there have been a couple schools of thought. You know, when Arkansas was in the hiring process prior to Brett Bielema being hired, there were folks that were pining for a coach similar to Bobby Petrino with a unique style where maybe they didn't have to win on the recruiting trail every year in order to be successful. How do you think his style works, and how successful do you think he can be on the recruiting trail? Because, again, with what he wants to do, you got to have pretty good Jimmys and Joes if you're going to go forward and be successful.
You really do. And they're running such a similar scheme to LSU and Alabama with a very pro-style, smash-mouth type of offense and playing good defense. The margin for error, especially in the West, but, you know, for a program like Arkansas, is very minimal. I mean, it is razor thin. It's kind of like Florida in the East. People ask me all the time, can they turn around and win this, you know, and get to a bowl game this year? Yes, the margin of error is slim. I think Florida proved they could do it long-term. It's going to be about Bielema making some headway into Texas, going down there and getting some star players, pulling them away from Texas, pulling them away from Texas A&M, and obviously, you know, locking down the state of Arkansas, moving more into the Southeast, too. That's something that, you know, Missouri and Arkansas are going to come up with a lot of recruiting battles, and I think, you know, DGB was just a small blip on the radar of what these two rivals are going to face in the future as far as recruiting against each other. I think Arkansas is set up certainly for a better situation to recruit better talent. But, you know, like you mentioned, it's going to come down to the Jimmys and the Joes and to the star caliber talent that he's able to pull in there to beat Alabama. The one thing you can knock Petrino on was he was a phenomenal in-game play caller. The guy made adjustments in-game. He made adjustments at halftime, and he can score points, and he can win big games. I'm not sure Petrino was a very elite coach. He was a great offensive coach. So Bielema is going to have to prove he's an elite coach to win at Arkansas.
John, this is the season of predictions, of course. And it's funny to me. I was just thinking there, it's an analogy to the combine and then the NFL draft, where really nothing changes between that period other than some individual workouts. But it's amazing to me, like, guys' names will rise to the top even though nothing's changed. Lately, it seems like there's been a groundswell of support for optimism with Tennessee. What are your thoughts on Butch Jones in the early going? Because you've got him towards the top of the list for both short-term and long-term success.
I do. I think, you know, what Jones is tasked with is he's got to restore and breathe life back into an exhausted fan base and a program that has known winning. But you got to remember, the kids he's recruiting right now have only seen Tennessee lose. So he's not only charged with changing their whole way of thinking, he's charged with going around the state and making sure Tennessee is the brand. And we can look at Vanderbilt right now. We can say that Vanderbilt is in a little bit better situation as a program, if you can believe it or not. So he's got to beat Vanderbilt this year, and he's got to lock down his state. Certainly it starts there, going into Memphis, getting the key prospects. I think he's done a fantastic job, but you got to remember the momentum is either won or lost during the season, and it is almost – so pertinent that he makes a bowl game this year to keep that momentum going forward. I think they lose a lot of momentum, certainly what he's gained in the offseason, if they don't go to a bowl game. If they do, I think, you know, it sets up well, especially, you know, with Georgia and South Carolina losing some talent next year. I think, you know, there's a position for Tennessee to step back up in the East next year, you know, and be a 9-win team possibly. You know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, Jones is doing it by creating relationships. He's building the Tennessee brand. He's locking down the state. But ultimately, you know, his momentum is going to be won or lost during the season.
Speaking of teams that seem to have growing optimism, Missouri is a team that keeps being mentioned now as potentially having a major gain from last year. And, of course, it would be hard not to improve on what happened last year. James Franklin, a disappointing season, injury issues. He has been – now installed as the starter again officially. There was a little bit of a race there, I guess, from a quarterback standpoint. You may be talking about Gary Pinkel's replacement with new coaches next year if they don't win a lot. What's your what are your thoughts on the prospects for Missouri this coming season?
You know, one thing about Missouri you got to realize is their fan base is very loyal, and they're willing to dance with the guy that got them there. You know, Pinkel is arguably the best coach in the history of that program. Say what you want about that. You know, last year was obviously not the kind of splash they wanted to make. We were talking during the preseason about Missouri making the type of offensive splash that Texas A&M did, and obviously they took a step back, mostly due to injuries. I think, you know, there's little doubt that Pinkel is on the hottest seat. But, you know, I think he gets to a bowl game this year. I think they win six games. If they do that, I think that's good enough to get Pinkel certainly to the next year where – and keep building a program. And there's a lot of change going on there, especially jumping into this conference. And, I mean, it was a reality check for them. And, you know, I think they retain him, assuming he makes a bowl game. If they don't, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions, and they could ultimately run him out of there. But my main question for Missouri is that they have a good program, and what is Kentucky and Vanderbilt doing out-recruiting them? when are they going to take this brand of the SEC, this massive brand that's backing them, and really turn it into something positive? Mm-hmm. There's little momentum right now.
Also, an article out today that you wrote up about SEC assistants who will eventually become head coaches. We always talk about Kirby Smart. Of course, Arkansas has an assistant on its staff that was a head coach at a high-profile university. But who are a couple of the other guys that you consider to be kind of next in line for potential head coaches, whether it's in the SEC or elsewhere?
You know, a lot of people like to talk about Kirby Smart from Alabama, and I think, you know, there was some talk about him in Arkansas last mm-hmm. year. There was some talk about him in Auburn. Ultimately, he chose to go back to Alabama. But I think the main guy for Alabama to watch is offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. I mean, what he did with that offense has been phenomenal. He has a great track record. So I think he's probably most suited to become the next head coach, possibly in the SEC. I think a couple other guys to watch is Brent Pease from Florida, what he did with that offense, and he's been an assistant head coach before. I think he's ready to take that next step, as well as Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator from Georgia. That's kind of the big three on the offensive side of the ball that I would really look for to take that next step. It might not be this year. Next year could be the year after, but, you know, all three of those guys are ultimately considered for head coaching jobs.
All right, good stuff, John. Thanks so much, and let's do it again for sure. Always good stuff coming off of SaturdayDownSouth.com, and we'll visit with you here down the road.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, man.